You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us. Well, I started a little late today. My fault, as usual. Thank you, Sam, for bearing with me. It is the 23rd, Thursday, another chilly, gloomy morning in Los Angeles. And let's see what else. Welcome to the Bob Dean Show. Yay! My backdrop is crooked. I love that Chevrolet, though. Isn't that cool? Guess who today's get? We have to settle. Just kidding. My dear friend and our dear friend, Juan Acosta, is our guest today.
Hey, hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
It's a beautiful day in the county of LA today. It's amazing. I love it.
In Pasadena? Well, you're in Pasadena. You're in our Pasadena studio. I'm in our Santa Monica studio. And yes, I'm all slumped down.
Nice.
Sitting up. Juan, it's great to have you. I must say, though, that you are second pick today. Kathy St. George, I did put up promotions, ladies and gentlemen, that Kathy would be joining us today. Unfortunately, traveling, it just got a little crazy. She's back and forth from the Big Apple to the Palm Beaches, and it couldn't work it out. It was my fault. I shouldn't have put it up so soon, but hope she'll be with us next time. Right. But Juan, you know, you're always welcome on here, and I love you, buddy. Thank you for coming to see the show. I want to have a great story for you about that, too. The last show at the Mosaic Hotel, the pop-up comedy hosted by some dude named Aaron. Uh-huh. And you came, and we had a blast, you and
it was great.
Dennis and Marissa. And I remember Marissa, the ladies and gentlemen, the pretty blonde that broke her boyfriend's dick. Well, she was there at the hotel where I... The Mosaic Hotel, 125 South Spalding in Beverly Hills, is my rent-paying gig. And I freaking love that job. It's a great little hotel, isn't it, Juan?
Yep. Maybe I should try to go back.
Well, you can. So, yeah, Juan got hired there, and unfortunately, he was there for a couple of shifts, but he had to go home for a family emergency. And so is that emergency's working out okay, though? Your mom's doing okay now?
Yes, my mom is doing much better, you know, but there's a lot of stuff going on with my family, my sisters, you know, my siblings. So,
you want me to go down there and shut them around for you?
Yeah, but that'd be great. But I'm back, you know. I'm trying to. I like to stay there, you know, a little longer. But I can't because I'm not a citizen yet. I'm just a resident. So I got to work on my citizenship, which is what I'm doing right now.
I want to get back to that in just a minute, because that's the important part. What I wanted to tell you is that, before I forget, because I will forget, I will be doing a show with Percy, Percy's Thursday show at the Ha Ha Club in lovely North Hollywood on Lancashire, the Ha Ha Club, on the 20th of June. So make sure that you put that on your calendar, folks. The 20th of June, it's a special Pride edition. Percy hosts his show is a gay show, and I don't know how they got me in there. Just kidding. I play for the other team, if you didn't know that, or the referee. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And this is what I want to tell you real quick. That guy that has the pop-up comedy, and yeah, I'm going to talk about you, dude, right here on the Bob Dean Show. You know, they were catering to the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce, okay, and he had like six comics, and they were good. And I told a bunch of people because I just assumed that I didn't assume I was hoping that I would get the opportunity to do at least 5 minutes, right? So I didn't, but I told a bunch of people, Dennis, Marissa, you know, the gang, I told them that the show, the pop-up comedy show, was coming to the hotel. I did not know if I was going to perform. So like 12 people show up, Seca and William. Seca, I just love her. Hi, Seca. And, you know, some others. And so nothing was said. So halfway through the show, I politely walked up to him while one of the comics was doing their set. And I said, hey, do you think that I might, get 5 minutes. And before I could say, I go, do you think I might get 5 minutes? And before I could say another word, he goes, no, like really loud. He started screaming at me like a little child. And I was like, whoa. And he's like, nah, nah, nah. I go, let's take this over here. Okay. Cause we're standing right next to the stage. We walked to the front door, by the reception area. And he's going, I go, you know what? Really, I couldn't even understand what he was screaming about, so I go, let's take this outside. So we're outside on the sidewalk. And he goes, you can't come up to me and tell me you've got 12 of your friends up there that came to see you when you weren't given a slot. And he goes, and your 12 friends is the ones up there that are sitting at the bar laughing and talking. I go, yeah, they're laughing and talking because they're spending money. And yeah. He goes, well, they're doing it while the comics are up. And I go, well, maybe if the comics were funny, they'd be paying attention, which was a cut toward the comics, and they were good. I'm sorry. I was just trying. And what it boils down to, he was offended that I didn't come up to him like a little group and go, hi, because when they got there, he was out by the pool with a two or three of the comics. They're standing there talking, and I was working, and so I go across and, I nodded at him, and that was it. So anyway, he likes,
some people's ego are too high, they stand on a piece of paper and they see everybody, from up there, and they think they're above everyone else.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to, let you know and everybody else know that I was very unfairly treated.
Yes.
I was very uncomfortable with that conversation. So I guess I'm live streaming. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have went on and on about that. I don't care. Sorry. So anyway, Juan, how are your procedures coming? You got most of the letters that you needed.
They asked me to if I have volunteered to anything, but I'm always working. I never have a chance to volunteer at anything. But whenever somebody asks me for help, I'm there for them.
Yes, of course.
I don't know if that counts, so a lot of people are writing on the letters, that I'm always there to help, and that I'm a hard worker, that I'm always, caring for my kids, and I'm so hopefully that helps.
Well, letters of reference. And the truth, I spoke to the one person, our friend who lives in Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. And she said she sent it. She said that she sent it to your email, and she was going to go back last night and double check.
Oh, she did? Okay, maybe it's there. Maybe it went to junk mail. I'll double check. And there's a few of my friends that haven't sent it. I need to remind them because they say they were going to make them. They're going to send a few. So the more, the merrier. The more, the best, the better.
Well, before I sent mine, I talked to Clark Trainer. You know Clark.
Yeah.
And because he's an immigration attorney as well. And he short and sweet, he told me to outline it just as I did. Just describe, what a terrific person you are and a great family man, a great father, a lousy bartender. Yes. Compared to me. I know I'm watching you. God, man, it's a young man's game. I love my kid. Huh?
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Bob. That means a lot, the letters, the support. You're always there for me. I really appreciate it.
Please, it's nothing. How many pieces of furniture have you moved for me? A lot.
Doesn't matter.
A lot.
A lot. Yeah, so, but my cousin come help you, but he was really busy. So he asked me if he can do it some more day.
You know what? No, it was very kind of you. This Joan, our Beverly Hills Gladys Kravitz correspondent, I don't think she's been on with us yet. She's just the best. Joan and I met through animal fostering many years ago. She's got a heart bigger than Santa Monica. And her alley, she lives in Beverly Hills on the corner of Charleville and Spalding, right? Her alley is the portal to cool. Okay. It's so funny, man. I guess these people of means, they'll throw away things when they're redecorating and all.
Yeah,
yeah. It's ridiculously cool. You saw the shelves, right? You see the shelves? They're like these rattan glass shelves are huge. There's two of them. And this artist created them. They're like $3,500 a piece.
Wow.
And they're really slank. It looks right out of Three's Company in here. Well, you know how bohemian this apartment is. I turn the camera around. I don't think people would believe it. Because nothing's back up on the walls from when they painted. You know, you got to go over one day and help me hang stuff. That'd be fun, won't it?
Oh, yes. You know, it's amazing in Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, you know, all that area, you know. All the things that people just toss out on the street, they're brand new. They just, a lot of people make a living, you know, driving around, picking up stuff and selling it online.
I can't see why they wouldn't. Well, yeah, and it's like, great, if you have the means, if you like to redecorate every couple of years, it cracks me up when you hear people, you know, some of them being our friends that we've made over the years through being the help and then turning into we're all true blue friends, that they're, I'm remodeling my kitchen. I'm remodeling my kitchen. I'm like, why? You've never cooked anything in it. Yeah, well, you know, chrome is out. Now it's you know, Naga hide, whatever.
And make it once a week, you know, as a midnight snack, and then that's all they use it for.
Or Cook does. I love it when they talk about Cook.
Yeah. By the way, I've been cooking a lot since, you know, my daughter lives with me. Juan is in the Army. I'm so proud of him. I'm going to his
grad. You did not tell me that.
Yeah. He's going to
graduate
on June 7th. He's down in Georgia, so I'm going to go down there for his graduation.
It's May. June of last year he joined?
No, today, this month is May.
Right.
June 7th, next month.
Next month he's going.
Yeah.
So no, he's still home.
He's already down there. He's almost 2 months.
Well, good for him.
Got graduation on June 7th.
So he's Army.
He's happy down there. He's really excited. He loves it. So I'm really happy for him.
Oh, hell yeah. What base is he at?
What was that?
What base is he stationed?
Oh, I have the paperwork right here. He's on Fort Moore, Georgia.
Excellent.
Yeah. And he might stay there, you know, after he's done graduating, he's going to stay there and he's going to major in something that I forgot what he told me was. I'm not that smart, you know, to keep it in my head. You know, he's really happy down there and I'm really proud of him. So since he was living here with me, my daughter's living here with me. So I started cooking a lot, you know. I'm no chef, you know, but I've been doing better. One of these days, you know, you got to come over and try some of my Mexican cooking.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Is Taco Bell.
Oh, yes. I make really good tacos, brother. You're going to love them.
As long as I go to the right house.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Mexicans out here in Pasadena. You might have a hard time, you know, finding my place.
I love that this, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to the Bob Dean Show today and watching Bob Dean Show, yay. I told that story last time when I went over to that Pasadena that night to hang out with you and this and that. And I, of course, driving from Santa Monica to Pasadena, it's a haul, it's an hour. And when traffic's moving, and I had to use the facilities, ladies and gentlemen, and I whipped into this driveway to which I thought was your house. And I go running up, and the front door was open, but there was fire going in the fireplace. It was chilly outside. And I'm like banging on the door, bang, bang, bang. I'm like, hurry up, Juan. And this guy comes. It's like this older guy with a ponytail. He's like, there's no Juan here. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And then you're across the street on the phone laughing, going, hey, idiot, I'm over here.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen your new place. I like that old place. That was cool, that house.
Yeah, it was too big for me. You know, it was a two-story house, you know, with the...
It was big.
Two bedrooms.
You know, that's when the kids were little, though. You needed that space.
Yeah. But you know, my kids, they weren't coming home, you know, as often as before. So and I was paying like too much, you know, just to stay there. I mean, I love the place, but it was a waste of money, to tell you the truth. It was too big for me. So my cousin asked me to come to his, you know, to come live with them, you know, because he needed help. He was sick. So I moved with them. I moved in with them and to help him. And he ended up going to Mexico, and he stayed down there because he got sick. And I kept the apartment.
What's
and
you doing now?
Really happy here. It's a beautiful place. And since he had been here for like 35 years or a little longer than that, the rent is like really, really low. So I'm happy for that.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. I was saying that my cousin,
you're freezing up.
My cousin moved to Mexico and left, and I stay in the apartment, and I'm not paying. I've been here for like 35 years or a little bit longer than that. The rent is really low, so I'm happy for that.
Hey, listen, that's all that anyone is talking about anymore. It's how expensive it is to live.
It is. Yes.
I mean, it used to be to where we would discuss it, you know, when we're sitting around, you know, having a drink or whatever. But that's all people are talking about. And I'm sure that it's not just here. You know, that's one thing I do love about being at the Mosaic Hotel at 125 South Spalding in Beverly Hills. I'm meeting so many wonderful quality people from all over the world. And, you know, what's happening with in the United States with immigration issues and cost of living and homelessness.
Oh yeah,
they're experiencing the same things in Great Britain and Sweden and Germany. You know, and it's just, I don't know what's happening, but now that we're just like working to live, so many of us, you know, I mean, when was the last time you felt like you did anything fun besides being on the Bob Dean Show? Yay! I know, because we're getting older. It's not like because, you know, I always talk, oh, my God, if one more person comes in and talks about how much fun they had at Wolfgang's. ladies and gentlemen, Juan and I used to work at Wolfgang's Steakhouse by Wolfgang Zwiener in Beverly Hills. I had last week at least three people go, how do I know you? Where do I know you from? And I go, ugh, I was at Wolfgang's and I was the mean one. And they're like, yeah. I said, Sasha was the handsome one. Nikki was the pretty one. I'm the mean one. And Juan is the one that worked.
Yep. I was the one keeping the place open.
But I missed that place. That was a great spot. You're going out on me, Juan. I'm sure you'll be back in a second. There you are.
That was a place. I love working there with you guys. It was amazing. It was a beautiful place.
Pretty cool when you loved your work.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you were the best, too, man. Because I'd call you up like 30 minutes before my shift. And I'd be like, I don't want to feel like going in today. I want to go to the beach. And you'd be like, okay. Click, click, two phone calls. And as long as we had that bar covered, which we always did, thanks to you and Ricky most of the time, boom, we were ready to go.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was great because since I worked so hard and I took care of a lot of things that I knew I didn't charge for, like I got to fix things, you know, and all the stuff, and I never charged for anything. I guess that's why they were okay with me, you know, working some overtime, so that wasn't a problem at all. So I could cover for everyone. So that worked out perfect for us.
Yeah. You were the king there, baby.
Well, you know.
You know what? I'm talking about how much fun it was. The Grill on the Alley is the place that everybody's talking about now. Have you heard any buzz about Mastro's?
No. I went to apply at a place on the street. But I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know. I went to apply at a place across the street from Mastro's. But I don't know. Is Masters closing or something?
Juan, I'm sorry. You're breaking up, bud. We're freezing up. I don't know.
Masters or something? Or what's going on with Masters?
Just, well, you know, the Daly's Corporation, you know, bought the Palm and Mastros a few years back. Well, you know, the Palm is closed completely. And I just heard, I've heard that Mastros isn't doing the business it once was. And that place was slammed every night.
Yeah.
Steak 48 is a new place to be.
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to get in there, but everybody's in line, you know, trying to become a bartender.
Well, I was hired there twice.
What?
Yeah, I got hired, and you know they may not know it with their regime that's there now. But Kevin and Tad, the brothers, who are just the best, I worked with them at Mastros, and when Steak 48 had their open call, auditioning, whatever they call it now, you know, applying for a job over on Robertson in Beverly Hills, they had a storefront there. And I went in, and the general manager hired me, and he said, he gave me his number. He said, call me and come in, and we'll set this up. Well, he's no longer the general manager, but what the deal was, Juan, is that I wanted to go because I knew it was going to be the hottest spot in Beverly Hills. But they wanted to go that damn school where you had to literally go to class from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday for like 6 weeks. And I was like, mm-mm.
Oh, I can.
You know, I'm not going
to. I would love to. Huh? I would love
well,
to.
I mean,
yeah, I've been trying to. If you can hook me up, please do. Yeah, but
I told you.
Trying to get in there.
I'm sorry, you keep breaking up on me, bud.
Yeah, I just said, you know, try to hook me up, but I would love to do that. You know, I don't have a problem with.
I mean, the only thing, you know, because the guy that hired, and then I got a call to come back in and speak to them again, you know, or an email that he wanted me to come back again. So I classify that as being hired, you know. So I got hired twice and didn't take it. And I'm really glad. Are you having visuals at your end there, Juan?
No, I can hear you and I can see you fine.
Because you keep disappearing and I keep disappearing and coming back, so there's no doubt that it must be me.
You freeze once in a while, you know, but I can see you.
I'm just kidding. So anyway, yeah, that's it. In other news,
I would love to work at.
It's my internet connection is poor today. Thank you, Spectrum.
I know,
friggin'
right?
Losers. My God. They are. They're the worst. You know?
Yeah.
I'm losing my momentum because I keep waiting for me to stop again. Do you have Spectrum? Who do you have?
I got AT&T. I got AT&T, which is not the best either.
Oh, man, we are just getting raked over the coals in this world. I'm realizing now that I'm old, okay? And it's just, it is what it is. You know, you're only as old as you feel. Well, I feel like I'm too. You know, the aches and pains that are just crazy. But man, these kids, I hate to be that old man standing that goes, get off my lawn, but I am, and I don't even have a lawn. And it's just listening to these guys, you know, young people, these people under 40, I swear, they have no work ethic.
No.
I said that to Dennis. Dennis and I were moving, pushing something the other day, and I go, take it easy, man. We're not 50.
We're not 50 anymore.
Well, that's why I love telling people too. I'm like, this is your future. And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know, some people nowadays, you know, the younger pops, you know, they don't have the same work ethic that we do, you know. It's It's sad.
Well, that's what my brother Greg, you know, his position with the Circle K Corporation. I told you about the fight we had, didn't I? This was just at the, I think, the end of COVID. Greg and Rachel and Dennis and I would have these, you know, four-way conversations. And, you know, when Dennis and I'd be driving, because Greg was working from home and all that sort of thing. And I was bitching every time about Ralph's and how I was just pissed off that we had to bag our own groceries. And on top of that, use the U-Scan lane, which I refuse to use. Now, the Ralph's that I do business on, Olympic and Barrington, the staff couldn't be any better. They're accommodating and doing the best they can. And usually at night, they'll open up a regular lane for me, which if you ask, because I just won't do it, you know? It just pisses me off that, you know, they want. But the point being is that, so we're in the car, and I'm getting ready to pull into Ralph's lot. And so it's like for the 10th time in our conversation. So I'm like, well, here I go to Ralph's, where shopping is a pressure. And you met my brother, Greg. He is very smart and very, you know, he thinks before he speaks. And you know, he never, I think I've seen him really lose his temper like three times in our entire lives. And he goes, you know what? You need to shut the beep up. And I looked at Dennis, and all four of us got really quiet. I went to say something, and he goes, do you know why they don't have any bag boys, Bob? Do you know why? And he goes, because nobody wants to beep work. And he's like, you can pay these teenagers $20 an hour, and they still don't want to beep work. Everybody's, you know. And he's right. I couldn't argue with him, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, these people are busting their asses to keep these businesses open and that sort of thing. And young people just don't want to work. They all want to be YouTube stars and everything.
Yep. Well, I guess we learn our lesson, you know, and we know how to appreciate, you know, what we have and the jobs that we have, you know, with time. And we learn to live with less, you know, and be happy with it, you know. Don't be too much.
I think about that sometimes, and it's like, you know, the whole house thing, blah, 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 but I'm happy,
yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't know why in the world, I mean, I've got more stuff than I even need now, and we live in this tiny apartment, you know? I mean, I got two cool cars, and I got friends like you, and Dennis, and cats, and all this stuff that's around here, you know, it's like, I'd be a hoarder. I know I've said this before. If I had any bigger space, I would be a hoarder because, you know, look at these wonderful things around here. Like, you know, how many wind up snowman snow globes can you have that are out in the middle of May? It's decorative. Not to mention Frankensteins. They're everywhere. Yep. On my neighbor, remember the English lady downstairs? Remember the English lady downstairs that I used to argue with?
Yeah, you're a really good friend.
She passed away.
Yeah.
And she passed away peacefully inside her home. So God, you know, God rest her soul. But that's because it's not a secret. She was a collector.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, you know, it was just like right out of one of those TV shows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and her brother some friends of hers who I had known from years by when we had a better relationship, you know, they just had a big truck come and just haul everything away.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, I have a bunch of stuff anyway, because, you know, you know, we go to state sales and the thrift stores and stuff. And what I cherish, people don't want, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
My own nieces and nephews don't want my mother's wedding crystal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm so proud and happy to have it. I've got it in and there's a couple pieces missing here and there, but that was really special to my mother.
Yeah.
And so I that's one of the things that I, you know, because I gave them a bunch of stuff when I moved out of the family home. But now I'm like, I'm saving it so I could give it to somebody as they're getting married and that sort of thing now. And they're like, gee, Uncle Bob, we just have plenty of everything.
Yeah.
We've got enough Baccarat crystal and you know, bone china and Harry Winston diamonds. I don't know what the fuck, you know.
Look, on my case, I was a collector. I used to collect cards, basketball memorabilia.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Look at this behind me. The Funkos. Can you see them? Those little toys, the little Funkos.
I love Funkos.
For some time, you know, I was buying all kinds of Funkos. I have those, and I have boxes full of them. And I was thinking, you know, what do I want those for? If what am I gonna do if I move? You know, and I'm not gonna sell them. I'm not gonna have a room, you know, where I'm gonna keep all my collectibles. You know, I should be leaving that for the new generation. You know, and just focus on the stuff.
They bring you happiness and you know, pleasure, don't they?
For some time, you know, but then you start seeing the different needs that you start, you know, having along the way, and you're thinking, oh, you know what, maybe I should prioritize, you know, some other things instead of buying all this stuff, you know. And so what I've been thinking on keeping a few of the ones that I really, really want and getting rid of the rest, you know, because I have a lot. I have a lot of comics. I have a lot of basketball memorabilia. And I've been thinking, what do I want them for? When am I going to enjoy it, you know?
I understand.
So I'm trying to get rid of most stuff. But, you know, I guess it's part of growing up. You know, you appreciate other stuff, you know, and not so much the material stuff that you used to appreciate more.
Well, I had a great car collection of, you know, die-cast metal stock cars, you know, convertibles and stuff. My favorite model years are from 1955, American cars, 1955 to, like, 1984.
Uh-huh.
And I must have had 100 of them that I'd collected. And I sold them all when I moved out here, you know, at the yard sale and stuff.
Yeah.
And I wish I had. Just like, you know, selling my real convertible and my Cadillacs, you know. But I've restarted another collection. Dennis has got me back on it because he's very generous with, you know, thoughtful gifts and the cars and stuff. So, and then I went to Rite Aid in Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh.
And that one that's open 24 hours, the only thing in Beverly Hills that's open 24 hours.
Yeah, my store.
Beverly Hills looks so glamorous in the movies. And ladies and gentlemen, it rolled the sidewalk roll up at 10 o'clock.
I used to be there every day, every single day.
Yeah. And 10 o'clock is when they rolled up. But yeah, I started collecting. I went in there and after the holidays and they had like 75% off on those die-cast cars, and yeah, made in China, but they look, they make a great, you know, I like them because they look like the real thing, you know, and I've got a couple of GTOs and some Suburbans and then old trucks and stuff like, yeah, just kind of stuff. I love stock, you know? Yeah. And, Hugo is supposed to come over and fix this damn convertible again.
Oh,
and
really?
He's so busy anymore. And all it needs is like a vacuum hose, but mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about my 1986 Chrysler LeBaron convertible, Lucille the LeBaron. She's pretty swell. But it's just so uncomfortable to have the bucket seats. They still bother my back, you know, since the accident. So I'm just not all that worried about, you know, having him fix it, but I really wish he would because it's been sitting there and then I forgot the tags.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
My camera moved. Sorry. Uh-huh. I can hear you.
Yeah. It was sitting down there and the tags expired. And it's got brand new tires on it. Well, they're like 2 years old and the blue is still on the white wall.
Uh-huh.
And there's two giant ghouls in it. In Jones Alley, the porthole to cool, there were these two. They're like as tall as you are. Life size, like one's a Dracula and one is a Frankenstein kind of thing, you know. Uh-huh. I did put a picture on the roof of, when I hauled him over here on the roof of the Tiguan, but there was nowhere to put it. We got no space for anything, even in the outdoor sheds. So they're in the convertible, like in the front and passenger seat, you know. So if you're not really paying attention and you're walking by through the garage, you're like, ah.
Nice. Yeah.
I got to move all my plants out there too. They're coming. You can tell because every apartment building in the neighborhood, uh-huh. There's all kinds of crews working on clean up, fix up, paint up, you know, whatever. And the woman that is Ellen Holm, the woman that owns my building, Gary, her husband, they own it together. And we lost Gary, or she lost Gary last year. And they are just the most wonderful landlords that anybody could ever ask for. But, you know, you've been to my house a million zillion times, and you have my urban garden. I moved it from one side of the, I call it the garage, but the, you know, the open carport, it's covered parking. And I put a whole new thing on the wall, like when you come out. So there's all kinds, it looks great, you know, as far as, you know, but it all has to be moved because technically it's in a space where the automobiles have to drive, even though, you know, it's not the, but it's in the garage itself. And the insurance regulations, you have to move all that stuff. And you know how in California, they're just dropping everybody, you know. Entire neighborhoods, they can't keep their homeowners because of the fires and the floods and the mudslides.
Yeah.
Car insurance is going up. Nicole, well, I shouldn't. We have a friend who's seriously considering leaving and moving to the East because they're just disgusted with the cost of everything. Because I don't know what your car, my car insurance is probably going to go up a couple $100, just like everybody else's, and that there's no accidents and no speeding tickets. But things are just jumping.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know how what a depressing episode of the Bob Dean Show. Yay. We're going to have to go and do an episode every now and then in the studio because, you know, Stan has reopened the LA Talk Radio studios. Thank you, LA Talk Radio, for first class representation and StreamYard and what?
Thank you for listening to us.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
What time is it? Let's see.
Tell me when you're doing it at the studio, if you want to invite me, I'll be happy to be there.
Yeah, you know, doing it like this is fun because, you know, I mean, it's so much more convenient.
Yeah.
You know, and we than driving from, you know, from Pasadena and Santa Monica to the Valley. But the studio is so nice. You know, yeah, and beautiful, and it's just fun to be together. So, you know,
we stop together. You know, not you know, not separate. We'll do it at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, please ask your server for separate checks before you order. If it has to be separate checks,
please.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, helps us a lot. Well, not me right now, but it does.
Hey, you know, changing the subject completely, like I always do. You've seen that short video that's on YouTube, Millennial Job Interview. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think I have. No.
We're gonna wrap this up on this. Ralph Ornero wrote that.
Okay.
And ladies and gentlemen, our friend Ralph Ornero is he wrote this thing called Millennial Job Interview. It is a short film. It is brilliant. It is hilarious. Watch it as long as watching the Bob Dean Show. We need to wrap it up, Juan. Time flies when we're having fun. So thank you, bud. Bob. Thank you all for listening today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. And Kathy St. George, love you. We'll see you hopefully next week or next time. And Dennis and everybody. And have a nice day. Thank you, guys.
Have a nice day, LA. I'll see you soon.
Buenos dias. Buenos nachos.
Buenos nachos.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.